But before we begin, just a couple of announcements. I just got back actually from covering Anime Revolution, which is a wonderful big deal about anime, animation, local visual artists, local improv artists, local artists of all sorts, and people who work in the voiceover industry from all over North America and Japan, which is really great. Tomorrow, I will be covering several interviews that have been arranged, many with Japanese guests of Anime Revolution. And lucky for you, I guess, a bit, and lucky for me especially, I happen to speak Japanese well enough to translate these interviews. So we'll be covering those tomorrow. And we'll be airing them on our show next week at the end of August, and that will be the 29th of August. On our 29th of August show, we'll be doing a retrospective on Anime Revolution. We'll be airing the interviews of the guests, which we will manage to cover, including some translations provided by yours truly. In addition to that, yesterday we recorded an interview with Danielle Benzon and her troupe, who are going to be performing Macbeth. And they're going to be doing that as part of the Vancouver Fringe Festival. They are one of many playing troupes that are going to be involved in the festival. Lots and lots and lots of really great plays coming up. The Vancouver Fringe Festival, of course, runs from September the 4th to September the 14th or so. And we encourage all of our listeners to go out and experience it in one way or another, because it is a great way in order to see the arts performed and keep them alive. And that's what we're all about here at Scald's Hall, especially because there's lots of really great performances that happen. And on our show next week, also the 29th of August, that interview will also air. So next week we're going to be having a lot of live recorded stuff. Well, it was recorded live. It was live at the time it happened. We're going to be having a lot of interviews for various artists who do work locally, who do work all over the world. It's going to be great. We're going to have a chance to talk to them, and we're going to have a chance to hear what they have to say. So that's going to be a lot of fun. A quick shout out to all of the people who were working with me for the past couple of weeks on various stuff, especially Kevin. Hello, Kevin. I told you I would give you a shout out. Coming up, for our first bit today, our first segment is from the classic series Suspense, which I'm listening to again. This episode is titled Two Sharp Knives. It is brought to us by the same author who wrote The Maltese Falcon. You might have heard of that. It's a Humphrey Bogart vehicle that's probably overshadowed in posterity by Casablanca, but not by much. The Maltese Falcon is where the line, "That's the stuff that dreams are made of," comes from. And so the screenwriter of that also did a lot of radio, as they did back in the day. And a lot of film stars used to do radio all the time rather than it be a novelty. And that's exactly what we're about to listen to. So sit back and relax. Turn down the lights. Find somewhere comfortable to hide if you have to. And take a listen to the Suspense episode, Two Sharp Knives, coming up right now on CITR 101.9 FM.
Suspense. Tonight, Columbia brings you as guest star Hollywood's genial character actor, Stuart Irwin. The story is by the author of The Thin Man and The Maltese Falcon, Dashiell Hammett, one of America's acknowledged masters of the art of suspense. Suspense is compounded of mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure. In this series are stories calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. Tonight, for instance, Stuart Irwin plays for us a pleasant, easygoing assistant chief of police in a small town who, to everyone's surprise, was instrumental in solving a murder. We trust that with this tale we shall keep you in suspense.
For Suspense tonight, CBS presents Stuart Irwin in Two Sharp Knives, by Dashiell Hammett.
Shortly after 2 a.m., a poker game had just broken up at Ben Camsley's, the doctor coroner of Deerwood City. Scott Anderson, Deerwood's chief of police, and Wally Shane, his assistant, were standing outside.
Where are we heading for, Scott?
Let's walk across the street, Wally. Railroad station.
Gee, aren't you afraid of the excitement, Chief? Don't you think that watching the 211 come in is apt to be too much for your blood pressure?
Well, if it is, Wally, you can always carry on. You've been a pretty good imitation of an assistant to me for some time now.
Yeah?
Yeah. If anything happens to me, you'd be the chief. Don't worry. Won't be any harder for you to fool the public as chief. Hi, Elmer.
Howdy, Scott. Hello, Wally. Kind of late for you boys to be around, ain't it?
No, I don't know. We sort of figured we'd put the town to bed tonight. How's the 211? On time?
Right on the nose. She ought to be blowing for the bend in just about 3 seconds now. Yep. What'd I tell you? It's her now. Expecting anyone on her, Scott?
No, Elmer, I'm not expecting anyone. Wally and I just thought we'd come over and watch you come in, that's all.
You know, Elmer, you never can tell who might get off, though. Dick Turpin, Henry Morgan, Jesse James, Jack the Ripper, or six officers of Murder Incorporated, or even your Aunt Gussie.
I guess you're right, Wally. Well, here she be. Pardon me, gents, but I gotta be rolling the wagon out to the baggage car.
Well,
I can't complain. I can't complain, Cap.
Well, maybe you can, Elmer, but I sure can if you hold us up with that freight there. You got much more?
Nope. This is the last piece now. There you are, Cap. All done.
Okay. See you tomorrow, Elmer.
Hey, Scott. Do you see what I see?
You mean, do I see the man who just got off that train? The answer's yes.
Well, he's a ringer for the guy we got a picture of.
That is the guy.
Well, then, what do we do now?
We take him, Wally. My car's at the corner of the alley.
But, Scott...
We'll tail him up the street.
Okay, Scott. There he goes now, over toward the taxi stand.
Come on. Let's follow him. Hello, Farman.
Huh? Who are you? I don't believe
you're Lester Farman, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Philadelphia?
Yes.
I'm Scott Anderson, chief of police.
What? Chief of... What's happened to her?
Happened to who?
Oh, no, you don't.
No.
Let me go.
Hold
you
on.
Think you can pull that sort of stuff
okay,
with me?
You're
very
let me
much
get a
sick.
Crack at that mug.
No. Wait a minute. No. Wait a minute.
Hold
gentlemen.
It, Wally. Well, Farman?
Well, I'm sorry. For a moment there, I thought you weren't really a policeman.
Thanks. Nice to know I look almost human.
Yes, it was silly of me. I'm sorry.
Well, let's get going now before anything else happens. Okay, Furman, get in the car. I'll drive, Scott.
In you go.
Are you taking me to police headquarters?
That's right.
What for?
Philadelphia.
I don't think I understand.
You understand that you're wanted in Philadelphia for murder, don't you?
Murder? Why, that's ridiculous. That's... Who told you that?
Well, it's a cinch he didn't make it up.
But wait, there must be...
Take it easy now. Just wait till we get down to headquarters. And I'll show you what I mean.
Now then, here's the circular on Lester Furman. It was sent out by the Transamerica Detective Agency in Philadelphia. Take a look at it.
Oh, $1,500 reward for the arrest and conviction of Lester Furman, alias Lloyd Fields, alias J.D. Carpenter, for the murder of Paul Frank Dunlap in Philadelphia on December 8th, 1942. It's a lie.
You're Furman, aren't you?
Oh, yes, but...
That's your picture on the circular, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, but I...
Scott, I see you and Wally got Furman, huh?
Oh, hello, George.
You lucky stiffs. Now you two split a grand and a half reward. I never seen nothing like it. You know, if it ain't vacations in New York at the city's expense, it's reward dough.
Judge, someday, if you don't remember you're the jailer around here, not the D.A., you're going to be wearing your teeth on the outside of your lips, and I'll be the guys who arrange them that way. Savvy?
Just because you caught a guy who's hot in Philadelphia.
It's a lie. It's a frame-up. You can't prove anything. There's nothing to prove. I never killed anybody. I won't be framed.
Take it easy. You're wasting your breath on us. Save it for the Philadelphia police. We're just holding you for them.
But it's not the police. It's the Trans-America detective.
We turn you over to the Philadelphia police.
Mr. Anderson, Well, then there's nothing I can do now?
There's nothing any of us can do till morning. You'll have to search you now, then we won't bother you anymore till they come for you.
But I...
Wally, you look through his bag. I'll see what he's got in his pockets.
Okay, Scott.
Well, all he's got on him are some business cards, a few letters, $160, a book of checks in a Philadelphia bank, and a few odds and ends. What's with the bag, Wally?
Not much. A couple of changes of clothes, some toilet articles, and... Oh, here's a .38. Loaded. Pretty little thing, isn't it?
Okay, put those things in what I got in the vault. All right, George. You can take Furman now and lock him up.
This is the most ridiculous
thing I've... Come along, darling. Come on. We ain't had nobody in our little hoosco for 3 days running. Hey, yeah? You'll have it all to yourself. Just like a suite at the Ritz.
But I...
Come on, in you go.
I tell you, you're making a mistake. I demand to be allowed to get in touch with my lawyer.
Hey, how about you boys cutting me in on a little of that blood money, huh?
Oh, sure, George, sure. I'll forget all about that $2.5 you've been owing me for 3 months.
Make Furman as comfortable as you can, George. Take good care of him.
He's valuable, huh? Yeah, now, if it was some bum that didn't mean a nickel to you...
George... Any day now, I'm going to forget that your uncle is county chairman and throw you back in the gutter just to see how high you'll bounce. Remember that.
Oh, Scott, I didn't mean nothing.
That's all, George. Never mind the rest. I'm going home now. If anything's urgent, I can reach there. But get this. I don't want to be disturbed. Unless it is urgent. What time is it?
It's 6:05 in the morning, and you'd better come right down, Scott. That fella Furman's hung himself.
What? Furman hung himself?
Yep, by his belt, from a window bar. Dinner and a mackerel.
I'll be right in, Wally. Phone Doc Kamsley and tell him I'll pick him up on my way down.
No doctor's gonna do Furman any good, Scott.
Well, it won't hurt to have him looked at. You'd better phone the county court at Douglasville, too, and file a routine report.
Already did that. And what's more, hold on to your seat. The D.A.'s on his way over, in person.
The D.A.?
Yeah.
I'll be there before you hang up, Wally.
Come on in, Chief. Ted Carroll, the DA's here, and he's plenty hot under the collar.
What's he burning about?
Oh, he's just mad, running up quite a phone bill on us, too. Been calling Philadelphia every couple of minutes since he got here. What kept you so long?
I couldn't get the car started. Well, let's go in and see the old buzzard. No, Ted?
Listen, Scott, what is all this?
Well, what?
There's some funny business going on here.
What's funny about it? Man hangs himself. Just another case of suicide.
Sure, it was suicide. But I just telephoned Transamerica. Dug a guy out of bed there. And he said they'd never sent out circulars on Furman. Didn't know about any murder he was wanted for. All they could tell me about him was he used to be a client of theirs.
I don't know what to say, Ted.
I don't either. Oh, a fine chief of police you are. What on earth kept you so long?
Car store. Came as quick as I could.
Ain't you so crabby, Ted?
Nothing. I guess it's just the district attorney and...
Ah, now, come, gentlemen. Nobody'd know you two are staunch admirers of each other.
Okay, Wally. Tell me, what do you make of it?
Well, there's plenty wrong, Scott. First, that Trans-America thing. They never sent out circulars about Furman. And now, get this. I talked to the Philly police just before you came in. There wasn't even any Paul Frank Dunlap murdered.
There wasn't?
No. What did you get out of Furman before you let him hang himself?
That he was innocent.
Didn't you grill him? Didn't you find out what he was doing in town? Wally, didn't you?
What for? He admitted he was Furman. The description fitted him. The photograph was him. The Trans-America Detective Agency is supposed to be on the level, ain't it? Philadelphia wanted Furman. We didn't.
But Scott...
Why, sure, Ted. If I'd have known he was going to hang himself. Yeah, but then if your aunt wore pants, he'd be your uncle. You said Furman had been a client of Trans-America. Did they tell you what the job they did for him was?
His wife left him a couple of years ago, and he had them hunting for her for 5 or 6 months. But they never found her. They're sending a man up here tonight to look things over.
Yeah, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going out and grab a quick bite. But I might as well tell you, Scott, there's going to be trouble over this.
I know that, Ted. There usually is when somebody dies in a jail cell.
So what's become of that 1,500 fish now, huh, Scott?
What happened there last night, George?
Nothing. Furman hung himself.
Did you find him?
Uh-huh. Wally took a look in here to see how things was before he went off duty, and he found him.
You're asleep, I suppose.
Well, I was catching a nap, I guess, but everybody does that sometimes, Scott. Even Wally sometimes when he comes in off his beat between rounds. Yeah, but I always wake up when the phone rings or anything.
Oh, sure.
Well, suppose I had been awake. Can't hear a guy hanging himself, can you?
Did Doc Cantley say how long Furman had been dead?
He done it about 5 o'clock, he said he guessed. Oh, you want to look at the remains, Scott? They're over at Fritz's undertaking, Paula.
Not now.
Hey, and speaking of Furman, what are you going to tell the guys from Trans-America when they show up here tonight?
Come in, come in.
Oh, they told me I'd find you here. You're Chief Anderson, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Carl Reising, Assistant Manager of the Trans-America Detective Agency in Philadelphia. This is Mr. Wheelock, who was Lester Furman's personal attorney.
Glad to know you, Mr. Reising. How do you do, Mr. Wheelock?
How do you do?
I know you gentlemen are already in possession of most of the details concerning Mr. Furman from the time he arrived in Deerwood until the time of his death. But perhaps you don't know that the police of most towns in our corner of the state have also received copies of this same reward circular. Take a look at it.
I must say this circular is an excellent forgery.
You're sure it's a forgery, Mr. Reising?
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about it. But it's an excellent forgery.
Tell me, Mr. Wheelock, was Mr. Furman a native Philadelphian?
Oh, my, yes. He was a well-known, respectable, and prosperous citizen of Philadelphia.
Married, I believe?
In 1934, he married a 22-year-old girl named Ethel Bryan, daughter of a Philadelphia family.
And the Furmans had a child? Isn't that right, Mr. Wheeler?
Yes, born in 1936, but the child lived only a few months. Mr. Furman's wife disappeared after the child's death.
Well, what year was it that she disappeared?
Mr. Reising should remember that. His agency worked on the matter.
Oh, I remember it well. Mrs. Furman disappeared in 1937. We never heard anything of her again, although Furman spent a lot of money trying to locate her.
What did she look like, Mr. Reising?
In just a moment. I have a picture of her right here in my briefcase. Here it is. Quite pretty, isn't she?
If you care for that type.
I see what you mean, Mr. Wheeler. Well, she's attractive as that. Judging by this photo, I'd say that she was a small-featured, pretty blonde, with a weak mouth and large, somewhat staring eyes.
Oh, that's an accurate enough description, all right.
If you don't mind, I'd like to have a copy made of that photograph, Mr. Reising.
Oh, you can keep that one if you like. It's one that we had made up at Trans-America. Her description's on the back.
Thanks. Did Furman ever divorce her?
No, sir. He was a lot in love with her, and he seemed to think that the child's dying made her a little screwy so that she didn't know what she was doing. That's right, isn't it, Mr. Wheelock?
That is my belief, Mr. Reising.
You said Furman had money, Mr. Wheelock. About how much did he have? And who gets it?
I should say his estate will amount to perhaps $500,000 left in its entirety to his wife.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a handy sum for anyone to have, I'd say. Mr. Wheelock, everything shows that somebody framed Furman into the Deerwood jail.
That frame-up drove him to suicide. But there has to be something else. A lot else.
Well, then, what are you going to do?
I'm going across the street to the undertaking parlor and have a look at Furman. I'll see you later. Hello, Doc.
Hi, Scott. I figured you'd come over here to the undertaker's pretty soon.
What's in your mind, Doc?
Let's get out of this crowd. I want to tell you something.
I just got rid of two guys in my office. Let's go back there.
Suits me. Two of those bruises showed, Scott.
What bruises?
Furman. Well, up under the hair, there were two bruises.
Why didn't you tell me?
I'm telling you now, Scott. You weren't here when I made my examination. This is the first time I've seen you since then.
Why didn't you spill the stuff about Furman's bruises when you were testifying at the inquest, then?
I'm a friend of yours. Do I want to put you on a spot where people can say you drove this chap to suicide by third-degreeing him too rough?
You're nuts. How bad was Furman's head?
Well, Scott, that didn't kill him, if that's what you mean. There's nothing the matter with his skull. Just a couple of bruises nobody had noticed, and unless they parted the hair. I thought you ought to know, though.
Well, thanks, Ben. Yes, who is it?
This is Fritz, the undertaker. Listen, Scott, there's a couple of ladies over here that want to take a look at Furman. Is it all right?
Who are they?
I don't know them. Strangers.
What do they want to see him for?
I don't know. Wait a minute.
Can't I please see him?
Why do you want to see him?
Well, I'm his wife.
Furman's wife?
Yes.
Oh, certainly. I'll be right over. So long, Ben. I've got to go back to the undertaker's.
So long, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
What do you want, Wally?
I want to talk to you a minute. Over here where we won't be seen.
Okay, what is it?
A couple of dames came into Fritz's undertaking place just as I was leaving. One of them's Hotshaw Randall, a babe with a record as long as your arm. She's one of that mob you had me working on in New York last summer.
Does she know you?
Sure, but not by my right name. She thinks I'm a Detroit rum runner.
I mean, did she recognize you just now?
I don't think she saw me. Anyway, she didn't give me a tumble.
You don't know the other one?
No, she's a blonde, kind of pretty.
Okay, Wally, stick around a while, but stay out of sight. Maybe I'll be bringing these dolls back with me.
Whatever you say, Chief.
Oh, there you are, Scott. I wondered for you when you were coming. This is Mrs. Furman, and this is Mrs. Crowder.
How do you do?
Hiya, Chief.
They just saw the body.
Mrs. Crowder? I thought your name was Randall.
What do you care, Chief? I'm not hurting your town any.
Don't call me Chief. You city slickers, I'm the town whittler.
Thank you for letting me see him.
It's all right, Mrs. Furman. But I'll have to ask you and your friends some questions. So if you'll just come across the street to headquarters, we'll get on with the routine. Ask any questions. I want to tell you something. Mrs. Furman, your husband didn't commit suicide. He was murdered.
Murdered? Chief, we got alibis. We were in New York and we can prove it.
And you're likely to get a chance, Tim. What brought you down here anyway?
Murdered? Well, who's got a better right to come down here? She was still his wife, wasn't she? She's got a right to look out for her own interests, hasn't she?
It reminds me of something. Excuse me a second. I've got to make a phone call in the next room.
Officer Hamill speaking.
This is Scott.
Yes?
Is Wally around?
No, he's not here. He said you told him to keep out of sight. I'll find him for you, though.
Right. Tell Wally I want him to go to New York tonight. Send Mason home to get some sleep. He'll have to take over Wally's night trick.
Oh?
Mr. Anderson, do you think I had anything to do with Lester's... with his death?
I don't know, Mrs. Furman. I know he was killed. I also know he left you something like $500,000.
Wow. Dollars?
Dollars.
All right, Chief. Let's stop clowning. The kid here didn't have a thing to do with whatever you think happened.
No?
No. We read about Lester Furman committing suicide in yesterday morning's paper. And about there being something funny about it. And I persuaded her she ought to come down to Dear
Anderson, I wouldn't have done anything to hurt Lester. I left him because I wanted to leave him. I wouldn't have done anything to hurt him for money or anything else. Had I wanted money from him, I would only have had to ask him for it.
That's the truth, Chief. For years I've been telling Ethel she was a chump not to tap him. But she never would.
I wouldn't have hurt him.
Why'd you leave him then?
Oh, I don't know how to say it. The way we lived wasn't the way I wanted to live. I wanted... oh, I don't know what. Anyway, after the baby died, I couldn't stand it anymore.
Excuse me. Hello? Oh, yeah, Hammer? You gave Wally the message? Yes, I want him to go to New York tonight. Okay, where is he? Home? He is home, huh? Okay, thanks. Mrs. Furman, this circular got your husband in the jail. Did you ever see that picture before?
No. Why, it can't be. It's a snapshot I have. It's an enlargement of it.
Who else has one?
Nobody that I know of. I don't think anyone else could have one.
You still got yours?
Yes. Don't remember whether I've seen it recently. It's with some old papers and things. But I must have it.
Well, Mrs. Furman, it's stuff like that that's got to be checked up. Neither of us can dodge it. Now, there's two ways we can play it.
Yes?
Mrs. Furman, I can hold you here on suspicion until I've had time to investigate things. Or I can send one of my men with you to check up in New York.
Yes?
I'm willing to do that if you'll speed things up by helping him all you can. If you'll promise you won't try any tricks.
I promise. I'm as anxious as
you are. All right. How'd you come down?
We drove down. We got a great big car. That's my car, see? That big green job across the street.
Yeah. And my man can ride back with you, but no funny business.
Oh, don't worry, Chief.
Come on. We're going to see Wally Shane, the man who's going to drive to New York with you. Wally?
Who is it?
Scott, Wally.
Come in.
Ladies first.
Harry.
Ethel.
No, you don't. No use reaching with that gun, Wally. Already got you covered.
I guess you win, Scott.
Yeah, I guess I do. Come along back to headquarters with me like a good little boy. Wally, you're under arrest for murder.
I knew it was all up, Scott, the minute I saw those two dames going into Fritz's. Then when I was ducking out of sight, I ran into you, and I was afraid you'd take me over there with you, so I had to tell you one of them knew me, figuring you'd want to keep me undercover for a little while anyhow, long enough for me to get out of town.
Why didn't you get out, Wally?
Well, I dropped in home to pick up a couple of things before I scram, and that phone call of Hamill's catches me, and I fall for it. You see, Scott, I figured you're not on to me yet and are going to send me back to New York to see what dope I can get out of the dames. Well, you fooled me, brother.
I never thought you'd fall for that.
Then you didn't just stumble into all this accidentally, did you?
No, I didn't, Wally. I figured Furman had to be murdered by a copper. To know reward circulars well enough to make a good job of forging one. Incidentally, who printed that Furman circular for you, Wally?
Now, I'm not dragging anyone in with me. It was only a poor mug that needed dough.
Okay, Wally. You see, I knew only a copper would be sure enough of the routine to know how things would be handled. Only one of my coppers would be able to walk into Furman's cell, bang him across the head, and string him up on the... Those bruises showed, you know, why.
They did? I guess I should have wrapped two towels around that blackjack. Well, gee, Scott, I seem to have slipped up on a lot of things.
So that narrows it down to my coppers and... Well, you told me you knew the Randall woman. There it was. Only I figured you were working with him. What got you like this, Wally?
Same thing that gets most saps into jams, a yen for easy dough. I was in New York, see, Scott, working that Dutton job for you, palling around with big-shot racketeers, passing for one of them, and...
Yes?
Well, I got to figuring that my work takes more brains than theirs, and they're taking in big money, and I'm working for coffee and cakes. That kind of stuff gets you, Scott. Anyway, it got me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ran into this Ethel Furman, and she goes for me like a house afire. I liked her, too, see, so that's dandy. But one night she tells me about how much dough her husband's got and how he feels about her, and I get to thinking...
Thinking what?
I think she's nuts enough about me to marry me. So I get to thinking, suppose he died and left her his role.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So I run down to Philly a couple of afternoons and look Furman up, and everything looks fine. I took my time working out the details, meanwhile writing to her through a fellow in Detroit.
Go on. Finish one.
Well, I decided to do it. I sent those circulars out to a lot of places, not wanting to point too much to this one. And then when I was ready, I phoned Furman, telling him to come to Deerwood Hotel that night. And sometime before the next night, he'd hear from his wife, Ethel. I knew he'd fall for any trap that was baited with her. Only I guess I'm not as sharp as I thought I was, Scott.
Maybe you are, Wally. Maybe you are. That doesn't always help. Old man Camsley, Ben's father, used to have a saying, to a sharp knife comes a tough steak.
Well, sorry you did it, Wally.
I always liked you.
I know you did, Scott. I was counting on that.
Dashiell Hammett's Two Sharp Knives, starring Stuart Irwin. Tonight's story of suspense. Columbia presents these tales of mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure for your relaxation and enjoyment. Next week, suspense will not be heard because of a special holiday broadcast. Columbia's review of the events of the year, 12 crowded months, which has been scheduled. On the following Tuesday, January 5th, there'll be another in this series. Same hour, 9:30 Eastern Wartime. William Spear, the producer, John Dietz, the director, and Bernard Herrmann, the composer-conductor, are collaborators on Suspense.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Cat's Pajamas, a phrase to describe something super awesome or cool. The Cat's Pajamas, a super awesome and cool radio show featuring the latest and greatest indie pop, rock, and more from Vancouver and beyond. The Cat's Pajamas, every Friday at 10 to 11 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
And you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and you're listening to Skald's Hall, where we bring you spoken word entertainment. And coming up, we're going to be having something of a very different vein from what you just heard. What you just heard was, of course, a real radio broadcast from the golden age of radio dramas, when they used to make tons and tons and tons of these and broadcast them on the radio. This is a tradition that has endured in some parts of the world, but it has not endured in North America to the degree that it once did. what a lot of people do nowadays when they make products of this nature, when they make artistic productions of this nature, is they just put them up on the internet as podcasts. And you can go and find a lot of these on iTunes. You can find a lot of them buried in blog posts from blogs of yesteryear. Coming up in a moment, we're going to be having a episode of a drama series of that nature. Longtime listeners will recognize this as the next episode of the Dreamcatcher Chronicles series. We're coming up on getting through that. There are only a few more episodes to go in that series, and so I figured, well, there's no time like the present. This is a far more upbeat and adventuresome series than suspense, and it is also far more modern and brings us a very different take on what it means to tell a story. So sit back, relax, and find some place to sit on the edge of your seat as we bring you episode 5 of the Dreamcatcher series right here on Scald's Hall at CITR 101.9 FM, coming up in just a moment.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Episode 5.
Dreams have as much influence as actions.
Stephanie Malarmy.
Brian!
Brian!
Come on, this isn't
Brian!
Funny!
Brian!
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 Where did he go? He was right behind us.
Oh, talk about a bad time to get lost. With that light shrinking, the sooner we can find him, the better.
Okay, where was the last place that you saw him?
He was talking about a girl in the window or something. You think he's still back there?
Probably. You know he can't stop eyeballing a pretty girl. Jerk. Come on.
Ow! What are you... Hey, now! You're joking, right? You weren't really trying to...
You? Of course. I said I was hungry, didn't I?
Now stand still.
What? No, wait! Oh, great. Solana, was it? Look, I'm really flattered and all, but I'm not so sure I'm the one you want, you know, for dinner. Mm. I mean, I taste terrible, you know, skin and bones, really.
Oh, don't be so hard on yourself, dear. I think you look delicious.
Well, this is the place. But I don't see that girl he was talking about, do you?
No, but where else do we have to look?
You sure we got the right... Susan, look. The lit path, it's shrinking again.
That can't be good.
I'm going in.
But Gabriel said that...
If the path is disappearing, then there's no safe place for us out here anyway. Come on.
Yeah, but... Okay.
Ah!
Just stay still.
Huh? Brian?
Brian? You in here?
Ashley, Susan, wait! Don't come in! Here.
Oh, Looks like your girlfriends came in to check up on you. And here I thought I was special. You little heartbreaker.
Heartbreaker?
Susan, quiet! You don't understand. She's a monster!
Oh, and now you've gone and hurt my feelings.
Whoa! Brian? What's going on here?
She is trying to eat me, that's what!
Eat you. Ugh, that's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you girls feeling left out? Don't worry, there's plenty to go around. We never turn down a free meal.
We? Susan! I think she means...
We're not alone.
Oh my. There must be dozens of them.
They're like shadows.
Yeah, if you're not counting the teeth, the claws, and the razor-sharp spines on their back.
All right, my precious nightmares. Dig in.
Okay, not good.
Brilliant deduction. Got any more bright ideas?
Oh, funny coming from the guy that got us into this mess.
Me?
Yes, you. Guys, they're getting closer.
The walls collapsed!
Look, the creatures have stopped. That faint light. It's coming from outside. They're backing away from it. But how?
Is that?
Gabriel? Where did you...
That's enough sightseeing, kids. Get in! I've got a light spawning us to keep those things at bay, but it's not going to last very long. Just stay in here, whatever you do!
Don't have to tell me twice.
More fresh meat. This must be a lucky day.
Quite the opposite, I assure you.
You'll never escape us in that pathetic thing. You're all as good as dead.
You have no idea who you're dealing with. Let's shed some light on the subject, shall we?
The headlight!
Look! It's hurting the creatures!
The light! Destroying my beautiful nightmares! You monster!
Takes one to know one, sister.
Pets! Get them!
Whoops.
Okay, done taunting. Hang on!
So, when someone tells you specifically not to do something, is it normal for humans to do the exact opposite? I told you to stay put! And instead, we're being chased by hordes of nightmare creatures. It's not like I didn't have anything else to worry about.
We did stay put. I mean, we just thought
Well, you thought wrong, didn't you? For the love of Morpheus, would you keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times?
Brian, watch out! You've got your leg!
Huh? Get off!
Why won't you people listen to me? You know what? Next time one of you gets out of line, I'm pushing you out of the backseat. Got it?
What are those things?
I told you, they're nightmares.
Nightmares?
What, you thought all dreams were all happily ever after?
But why are they after us? We didn't do anything!
You invaded their territory.
What?
If dream creatures are always creating, then nightmare creatures embody destruction. They feed on the negative emotions and doubts of the dreamscapes. Inner Realm visitors will sometimes explore their own dark dreams and desires inside the dreaming. Once they leave, those negative feelings they leave behind can grow and fester in their own twisted way.
But we didn't see anything like that in any of the other worlds. Why are they here?
This world, Equipoise, is a Zen containment center for Inner Realm nightmares. They live out their lives in the darkness, where they thrive. The light paths are simple guides for visitors to follow and stay safe.
But the light path started to disappear when we were out.
When someone crosses the light observation barrier, the balance between the two regions shift. If an observer is engulfed by the darkness, the nightmare's greed and hunger can force that balance to fluctuate.
So, because I went in that shop...
You threw off the balance, and because you two went looking for him, the presence of several new beings to feed off of has driven them crazy. As if my day wasn't trying enough.
That's fascinating, but is it just me, or are those nightmare things getting closer?
We're in full nightmare territory. It's becoming difficult for the spotlight to penetrate the shadows.
Just latched onto us.
Don't worry about them. Just stay put. Once we reach the border, we'll be safe.
Hurry!
Hang on! Well, folks, it looks like this is the end of the line for our little adventure. Been a pleasure, really.
Huh? What do you mean?
It's time to go home.
You're sending us back?
Look, if it's about what I did, I'm sorry.
No. As annoying as your little escapade was, I've been in far more life-threatening situations. But things have recently taken a more serious turn, and I can't have you three mucking about while all this gets sorted out.
Mucking about? Oh, so is this what you think we've been doing all this time?
Hey, Ashley.
Don't Ashley me. Nightmares aside, he hasn't thought about us once since we got here. And now we're getting in the way when he's the one who dragged us out here in the first place.
Look, it's not like that.
Selfish brat.
Well then, you want to be that way? Fine by me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for flying Onironaut Airlines. We hope you had a lovely trip, and please don't forget to turn the overhead lights off, tip your waiter, return your seat to an upright position, and all that jazz. Bye-bye. Huh? Okay, that's odd.
That doesn't sound good.
What's wrong?
I don't know. It's not registering any connection to the inner realm. It's like I've been locked out.
Inner realm? That's...
your world, reality, life on the big blue wet thing, etc. Come on, what's with this thing?
Wait a sec, you mean it's gone?
No, I mean it's gone from the logs. Logs, yes, actuality, no.
Oh, bravo. Good job, Gabe.
Ashley...
look, I'm trying to figure this out, all right? I don't know why it's doing this.
You don't know? You're the dream guide. It's your equipment.
Well, yes, but I didn't program the bloody thing. What do I look like? Dream tech support?
You mean to tell me you've been messing around with that transporter thing and you don't even know how it works?
I know the theory.
But you can't fix
it. It's not supposed to happen.
Oh, great. So instead of sending us home now that you're done playing, you've trapped us here. Gosh, looks like you're stuck with us, Mr. O'Naronoff.
That's funny, because I got the impression that you didn't want to go back anyway, little Miss Denial.
It's an excuse for a guide you are.
Well, at least I'm not a failed artist.
How dare you!
Oh, I dare, Missy! You think I wanted this to happen? You think this is all part of my
don't you dare call me
plan
Missy,
to keep you here?
Mr.
No,
Gabe!
No, this never happens
you're
at all. I don't know why it's not working.
I expect you to get
shut
out
the
it.
Hell up!
I
look,
can take some
I don't care,
from
I don't care.
Really well,
no,
but
I don't know why it's not working, okay? Quit it!
You guys want to stop bickering for a minute so we can figure out what's going on here? Honestly.
Gabriel, bottom line, can we get home or not?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
It'll just take a lot longer.
How long are we talking about here?
I don't know. As long as it takes to get this repaired, I guess.
So there's no other way home?
Nothing that doesn't require creating a tear in space-time or some sort of noble sacrifice.
Ah.
Is it completely busted? I mean, I don't suppose there's some sort of mystical dream world repair shop floating around that we could teleport to.
Oh. Oh, jeez, what am I thinking, Brian? You brilliant, brilliant man!
Excuse me?
That's it! Oh, I take back every bad thing I ever said about you. I knew you humans were good for something. Ha!
Thank you.
What is it?
Hold on. Let's see if we can still get there with this thing. Perfect! All right, kids, who's up for another trip?
Wait, there really is a dream repair shop?
No, but there is an entire world of inventions and innovative dreamers which should be perfect for finding someone to fix this.
And where are we going, exactly?
Magrathea, sweetheart. Magrathea.
Wait, isn't that...
Douglas Adams? Oh, yes, brilliant man. Frequent visitor of the place, in fact. Enough of that. Hang on! Ha! Now this is more like it.
Whoa.
This is like something out of a fairy tale book.
Magrathea is a dreaming inventor's paradise. It's like a testing ground for all sorts of new ideas, and plenty of scholars, inventors, and artists to discuss with and bounce ideas off of.
It's like an old German town, but with this whole steampunk thing going on. This is awesome.
Where do we start?
Follow me. It's about time I paid an old friend a visit.
Are Are you sure we should be down here?
You kidding? Sure, the main streets are fantastic to look at, but this is where you find the Avengers' hideaways, where they have their own fantastic workshops to help them focus and create. Marvelous, really.
So, who's this friend of yours again?
Patience. You'll see soon enough. Aha! Here we are.
Hello?
Oh, yes. Good morning. Inventing Standards and Safety Commission. Just doing a routine check. Don't mind us.
Green World coming to a fancy-pantsy committee of suits. Think they need to come and see me?
Just to... Ah, Gabriel, you
Gregory,
rascal.
How's it been? Long time no see.
That it has. That it has. Oh, you know me. Keeping busy. You?
About the same. Everyone, I'd like you to meet my good friend Gregory.
Wonderful to meet you. Any friend of Gabriel's is a friend of mine. Ah, but where are my manners? Come in, come in. Well, sit down, sit down. I'll put a pot on. It's around here somewhere. So, is this the first time here for you folks?
Yes, sir.
No better place to visit, Magrathea. Of course, not many dream folk think of stopping by in these parts. Just assume that we're all up in lab coats and spectacles and hardly any fun at all past the main street. You're lucky you've got Gabby there to show you around.
Gabby?
Greg, I don't know if this is
what?
The time for...
Didn't he tell you? Back when the first Dream Lord was around, bless his soul, he never did like calling Gabriel by his full name. Shortened it to Gabby. Thought it was funny. Gabby. Suppose you didn't talk much back then, eh? No wonder.
Gabby.
Quiet.
But enough of my babbling. What brings you all out here?
Well, got a question for you, actually.
Oh? All right, hold on. Here, can't have conversation without something to stop your mouths, now can we? All right, now, you may continue.
Dream World transportation devices.
Yeah?
Repaired any recently?
Nope, can't say that I have. Now, mind you, I made the blasted things to never need repair. Best little invention I ever came up with. Excellent craftsmanship. Even for me. But, why would you be asking me this, Gabby?
Well, you see, Greg, it's kind of stopped working.
What?
Sort of.
What do you mean, stopped working? You got here, didn't you?
Well, yes, but...
Are you insinuating that I, Gregory Bartholomew II, master inventor to the first Dream Lord, made a faulty invention? You of all people?
No, it's not that. It's just... Here, look. It's not broken, per se. It's locked me out of the inner realm coordinates. I haven't tested any others through it yet. The only other places I've transported us recently are here, Lunaria, and Equipoise.
Hmm.
Well, can you fix it?
Settle down, lad. I'm thinking. Don't rush genius, as they say. Well, I'll give it a look over, see what I can find. Might just need a tune-up. I'm guessing the last time you had one done was when you got it, right?
Well, maybe.
Well, you can all stay here if you like, or you're welcome to run around town for a bit. Old Greg will have this fixed up in a jiffy.
Thanks, Greg. You're the best.
Yeah. I'll wait with you now.
All right, kids. You heard the man. Go have some fun.
My lord.
Yes, Solana?
We may have a problem. The Oneironon and his human companions are beginning to interfere.
A nuisance. If there's one thing I cannot abide, it's meddling overachievers.
My lord?
A problem it may be, but a minor one. Thank you, Solana. You're dismissed.
But...
Hmm?
I have failed my mission, my lord. I should be punished.
On the contrary, my dear. You returned with an honest assessment and substantial intelligence. Actually, this turn of events shall set up our plan rather nicely. Don't you think, Gareth?
Indeed. Shall I ready my men?
Mm-hmm. Do it quickly. It seems the time for action has come quicker than anticipated.
And then?
Find me. I have a special mission for you. It would seem about time for some introductions to be made. Wouldn't you agree?
Introductions? Right. I'd be happy to.
Episode 5, Nightmares. Written, produced, and mixed by Catherine Ranella. Voice talent provided by Kathy Ranella as Solana, Colleen Sturley as Susan, Dan Michalko as Gregory, Greg Nugent as Gabriel, Melissa D. Johnson as Ashley, R. Douglas Barbieri as Gareth, Russell Gold as Damien, and Travis Molinex as Brian. Music provided by Hartwig Media, Kevin McLeod, and Daniel Floyd and Sean Morrison at Overclocked Remix. Script editing by Thomas Keeley and Linda Ranella. Executive producer is Dan Michalko. This has been a Merity Media production.
The 5th Annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is looking for submissions until August 31st. From documentaries to web series, all genres are accepted from student and professional filmmakers. Keep them short. Last year, 25 films were shown and $17,000 in prizes were awarded. To enter, visit vsff.com.
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Center is happy to present its new collaboration with My Sister's Closet, a social enterprise of battered women support services. The SASC's Got Consent clothing items will be sold at My Sister's Closet, located at 1092 Seymour Street in Vancouver. The Got Consent initiative is a preventative campaign that creatively touches upon the necessity for consent to be present during all sexual encounters. The Got Consent branding is visible on a variety of clothing items, including t-shirts, underwear, and tank tops. It's also available at the SASC and the UBC Wellness Center in the sub, in addition to at My Sister's Closet. For more information on the Sexual Assault Support Center at UBC and the Got Consent campaign, go to ams.ubc.ca/SASC.
And welcome back to us here at CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and you've been listening to Skald's Hall, where we bring you spoken word entertainment, and it is coming up on 10 o'clock. And it is almost time for us to finish our normal regular day here at Skald's Hall. But for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be extending our time here because Radio Nazate is going to be on a very brief hiatus for the rest of August and some of September while they get a few other things ready. And so it's going to be Skald's Hall until 10:30 for a couple of weeks, and then we'll go right to the Medicine Show. And they always bring in a ton of really awesome acts and things like that. So you will want to hang around for them for 10:30. To round out our time, however, we're going to take a listen to something else. We've taken a listen to a classics tale of suspense. We've taken a listen to a modern, more adventure-based radio drama. And now let's take a look, listen to something else that the spoken word can bring us. One-liners. And, ladies and gentlemen, to round out our evening here at Skald's Hall, here is the great Henny Youngman.
Now here he is, your friend and his, Henny Youngman.
Oh, that Henny Youngman.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy to be here tonight, even at this salary. Two gamblers coming out of church. One says, look, it's hallelujah, not hallelujah. A drunk walks up to a parking meter, puts a dime in, the arrow goes to 60. He says, yeah, I lost 100 pounds. Say, a drunk is brought into court. The judge says, my good man, you've been brought here for drinking. He says, all right, judge, let's get started. Two drunks walking along Broadway on New Year's Eve. One goes down the subway by mistake. He comes up to the other entrance. His friend is waiting for him. He says, where were you? I'm in some guy's basement. He got a set of trains. A stockbroker calls up a client. He says, look, there's a new stock on the market called State Gallery United. 10 cents a share. I think you ought to buy some. He says, all right, pick me up 20,000 shares. We'll have a little fun. The next day, the stock goes up to $1. He says, you want to sell it? He says, oh, no, give me 20,000 more shares. Goes up to $3. Give me 20,000 more shares. Goes up to $5. Give me $27. Give me $9. He says, sell me out at $9. He says, to who? Says, a man loses a lot of money in Las Vegas. He's driving out of town. He is fed up. From out of the mountains, he hears a voice say, go back to Las Vegas. Go back to Las Vegas. Well, he figured this is a good omen. He turns around, he drives back 80 miles an hour. He gets to Vegas, the voice says, go into Caesar's Palace and gamble this time. So he goes in Caesar's Palace. The voice says, play roulette. Put $2,000 on red. He does that. Black comes up. He loses. The voice says, how about that? So I'd like to talk about my brother-in-law. I got a brother-in-law who's a karate expert. Joined the army. First time he saluted, he killed himself. I got one brother-in-law. I wish he would learn a trade so we'd know what kind of work he's out of. He gets the funniest jobs. Last year, he was a lifeguard in the car wash. Tells people he's a diamond cutter. Diamond cutter. Mows the lawn at Yankee Stadium. Always on a diet. Say, my wife got a new diet now. Coconuts and bananas. She hasn't lost any weight, but can she climb a tree? She said she was a light eater. That's right. As soon as it's light, she starts to eat. She's tried Metricol, safflower oil. Now she eats nothing but Limburger cheese and garlic. You can't get near her, so from a distance, she looks thinner. My wife went to the beauty parlor. She got a mud pack. For 2 days, she looked nice. Then the mud fell off. She puts that cold cream all over her face. She says, kiss me. I said, take me to your leader. That's the way she looks in the morning. She ran after the garbage man. Am I too late for the garbage? She says, no, jump in. Two people get married. They're married for 20 years. All of a sudden, he says, honey, I want to admit something to you after 20 years. I have asthma. She says, asthma for 20 years. I thought you were hissing me. I found the girl having fun. She said, quick, hide my boyfriend. He says, where's the back door? She says, we haven't got a back door. He says, where would you like one? Back to the barbecue, folks. Now, folks, if your fire won't start fast enough, there are several different types of liquid fire starters. These are about as safe to use as nitroglycerine in the destruction derby. The two problems that can bug you are, one, your steak can taste like paint thinner, and number two, you can get yourself barbecued instead of the steak. Remember years ago when a barber used to give you a singe? Liquid fire starter will do the same thing for you. Now when you finally get your fire started and you have a nice bed of great coals, you are ready to cook. Be sure you have plenty of water handy, so in case fat makes the fire flare up, you can douse it. It's also good when your friends start giving you advice. You can douse them. Now, folks, once you start to cook, the thrilling part of grilling begins. There's an old song that goes, when your heart's on fire, smoke gets in your eyes. In barbecuing, smoke gets in your eyes when your meat's on fire. Now, one of the most important things to know about barbecuing is that all meat should be marinated. There are a lot of excellent marinades you can buy. Forget them. Now, about a half hour before you'll be cooking, drink a pint of scotch. That's all. Drink it. You'll either be too polluted to barbecue at all or so high you won't care what happens. In most cases, it's best to give the guests the same marinade. This makes any barbecue a success. Now, some barbecuers always try to place their grill over a plot of grass rather than a plot of sand. If you drop your steak before serving it and it falls on the grass, save it anyway. It looks like spinach. Now, if you drop it in the sand, it tastes like spinach. Now, be careful, folks, not to start your barbecue fire too close to trees, shrubbery, or to the house. If Mrs. O'Leary hadn't been grilling hamburgers so near a barn full of hay, her cow couldn't have kicked over the grill and started the Chicago fire. Now, always remember this. There's nothing more fun than cooking and eating out of doors unless you'd rather be comfortable. Everybody's had any experience planning barbecues knows one thing, it might rain. And they all agree there's just one thing you can do about it. Let it. Now, smoke generally keeps the bugs away from a barbecue. But if mosquitoes start eating you up, go indoors and let them eat the steak. People ask me, how do you become a comedian? Well, it's simple, folks. You get a lot of jokes together, you tell them to your friends, you keep the good ones. Now, before you know it, you are a riot. Everybody wants you in the home for parties, weddings, everything. You get free meals, everybody makes a fuss over you. Now, somebody tells you you ought to go on the stage like an idiot, you believe this. Now, to go on the stage, you must learn how to speak clearly. You go to diction school. They fill your mouth with marbles, and you are supposed to talk clearly right through the marbles. Now, every day you lose a marble. When you've lost all your marbles. I just found a labor-saving device. A rich old lady. A drunk walks into an elevator shaft. He falls down 10 flights. He's lying there bleeding. He says, I said, up. You know, a father was explaining ethics to his son, who's about to go into business. He says, suppose a woman comes in and orders $100 worth of material. You wrap it up and you give it to her. Now, she pays you with a $100 bill. As she goes out the door, you realize she's giving you two $100 bills. Now, here's where the ethics come in. Should you or shouldn't you tell your partner? They have a new thing now called Nicotine Anonymous. It's for people who want to stop smoking. When you feel a craving for a cigarette, you simply call up another member. He comes over and you get drunk together. Now, in the next scene, we see a couple that have been married for 20 years. He says to her, honey, let's go on a vacation. As he says this, he looks in the next room where he sees a little old lady knitting. He says, darling, if you don't mind, let's go this time without your mother. She says, my mother? I thought it was your mother. Folks, I got a wonderful doctor. If you can't afford the operation, he touches up the x-rays. My arm hurt. I went to the doctor. I said, doc, it hurts when I lift my arm like this. He says, don't do that. I said, doc, it hurts. He pulled out a medical book. He studied it 20 minutes. He said, you ever had that pain before? I said, yes. He said, well, he got it again. Incidentally, folks, if any of you people meet me at the racetrack, please don't give me any more tips on horses. I played a horse so slow, the jockey kept a diary of the trip. Some people play a horse to win, some to play, so you should have bet the horse to live. The jockey hit the horse turned around. He said, what are you hitting me for? There's nobody behind us. That's the first time I ever saw a horse start from a kneeling position. I don't mind when the horse is left at the post. I don't mind when the horse comes up to me in the grandstand and asks, which way did they go? When I see the horse I bet on at the $2 winner playing another horse in the same race. Before I go, folks, I have a message for all you parents. Is your teenage son or daughter out for the evening? If so, take advantage of the opportunity. Pack your furniture, call a movie man, and don't leave a forwarding address. Say, you want to have some real laughs, folks? Send a telegram saying, ignore first wire. No, I never had a penny to my name, so I changed my name. My wife's always asking for money, complained a friend of ours. Last week, she wanted $200. The day before yesterday, she asked me for $125. And this morning, she wanted $150. He said, that's crazy. What does she do with it all? She said, I don't know. I never give her any. You know Jack the Ripper was never killed. He's doing my laundry. See, I'll tell you how to beat the gambling in Las Vegas. When you get off the airplane, walk right into the propeller. Say, folks, you know what it means to come home at night to a woman who'll give you a little love, a little affection, a little tenderness. It means you're in the wrong house. That's what it means. You know, one thing I like about the beach, there's nothing like getting up at 6 in the morning, putting on your bathing suit, jumping in the ocean, swimming out 5 or 6 miles, and then swimming back. There's nothing like it, so why do it? A fellow walked up to me and said, stick him down. I said, you mean stick him up? He said, no wonder I've made any money. Says a new perfume out which drives women crazy. It smells like money. It's called Filthy Luca 5. So I came home last night by accident. There's a car in the dining room. I said to my wife, how did he get the car in here? She said, it was easy. I made a left turn when I came out the kitchen. Says a man 75 years old, he's reading in his hotel room when he hears a knock on the door and a beautiful girl says, I'm sorry, I must be in the wrong room. He says, you got the right room, but you're 40 years too late. Said, you hear about the nearsighted snake who fell in love with a piece of rope? Say, my wife put her hand out the window while she was driving. She signaled right, then left, then she erased it. I said, what kind of a signal is that? She says, I want to go right, and I want to go left, and I changed my mind. I rubbed it out. Say, you want to get your boot black crazy? Next time you're going for a shine, wear one black shoe and one brown one. Say, they had a fire in a hotel in Miami Beach. A woman shouted, help, fire! Cha-cha-cha! Say, we have a Volkswagen with four gears. The fourth gear is for going through Jewish neighborhoods. When I was a kid, I had no watch. I used to tell time with my fiddle. I used to practice in the middle of the night, and the neighbors would shout, fine time to practice, 4 o'clock in the morning. I love this town. I have a lovely hotel room and bath. A little inconvenient. They're in two different buildings. You know, I'm always a gentleman in the subway. Whenever I see an empty seat, I point it out to a lady, then I race her for it. Say, the other day, a friend of mine walked into a cigar store. She said to the sales girl, I'd like to buy a carton of cigarettes. The sales girl smiled and said, there are so many brands, which one would you like? My friend thought for a moment, then mentioned a particular brand, whereupon the following conversation took place. Do you want the soft pack or the crushed root box? Soft pack. King size or regular? King size. Filter tip or plain? Filter tip. Menthol or mint? Menthol. Cash or carry? Forget it, I've broken a habit. Say, doctors are just worried about their public image nowadays. I don't wonder why. A few weeks ago, a doctor friend of mine had trouble with his plumbing. The pipes in his bathroom began to leak. The leak became bigger and bigger. Even though it was 2 o'clock in the morning, the doctor decided to phone his plumber. Naturally, the plumber got sore being awakened at that hour of the morning. For Pete's sake, Doc, he wailed, this is some time to wake a guy. He said, you've never hesitated to call me in the middle of the night with a medical problem. Now it just happens I've got a plumbing emergency. There was a moment's silence. The plumber spoke up. Right you are, Doc. Tell me what's wrong. The doctor explained about the leak in the bathroom. The plumber said, I'll tell you what to do. Take two aspirins every 4 hours, drop them down the pipe. If the leak hasn't cleared up by morning, phone me at the office. You know, I'm so nearsighted I can't even see my contact lenses. You know, folks, I flew my own plane for 2 years, then the rubber band broke. You know, I don't know what to get my wife anymore. First she wanted a mink, I got her a mink. Then she wanted a solar fox, I got her a solar fox. It's ridiculous. The house is full of animals. Say, everybody's on strike nowadays. I saw a guy carrying a sign with nothing on it. I said, who are you picketing against? I said, nobody. I'm looking for a sponsor. Say, my wife is learning how to drive. When the road times when she does, it's a coincidence. Last night, I ordered a whole meal in French, and even the waiter was surprised. It was a Chinese restaurant. I said to my mother-in-law, my house is your house. Last week, she sold it. Two kangaroos were talking to each other. One said, gee, I hope it don't rain today. I just hate it when the children play inside. Say, things are rough and people are worried. I saw a man lying in the gutter. I said, are you sick? Can I help you? He says, no, I found a parking place. I sent my wife to buy a car. Folks, last week, my wife and I were married 40 years, and we went back to the same hotel where we got married in Chicago. Had the same suite of rooms. Only this time, I went in the bathroom and cried. I played a hotel in Chicago, where they had a line of chorus girls. They used to dress in one room, and I used to dress in the next room. And there was a little hole in the wall. I let them look. Couple in Hollywood got divorced, then they got remarried. The divorce didn't work out. I love Hollywood. I go to every year to attend Sasha Gabor's weddings. She's been married so many times, she has rice marks on her face. Martha Ray's been married 7 times. She has a wash and wear bridal gown. Martha Ray kissed me. I lost my head completely. Now picture this. Martha Ray's making a picture. She's taking a shower bath. She hears the doorbell ring. She says, "Who's there?" He says, "Blind man." She runs out, opens the door. The man says, "Where shall I put these blinds, lady?" There was a girl banging on my hotel room door all night. I finally had to let her out of the room. I don't want to say my room was small. I put the key in the keyhole. I broke the window. This hotel was so elegant, room service had an unlisted number. I called on. I said, "Is this room service?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Send up a room." I walked in my room. There's a strange girl. I said to her, "I'll give you just 48 hours to get out of here." She said to me, "Braggart." There's a man going to the electric chair. The warden says, "You can have anything you want to eat, anything you desire." So he said, "I want mushrooms." He says, "Mushrooms? Yeah, I was always afraid to eat them." No, business is so bad in the nightclub I worked in last week. The orchestra was playing Tea for One. When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout, "Help!" Say, folks, have you tried vodka and carrot juice? You get drunk just as fast, but the eyesight gets better. My father was a town drunk. A lot of times that's not so bad, but New York City? I just want to give you an idea how difficult my wife can be. She bought me 2 ties for my birthday. To please her, I wore one. She hollered, "What's the matter? Don't you like the other one?" The first part of our marriage was very happy. But then on the way back from the ceremony... My mother-in-law needed a blood transfusion. We had to give up the idea. We couldn't find a tiger. My mother-in-law will never live to be as old as she looks. 4 drunks looked at her, they took the pledge. My house, I don't need any long playing records, not with my wife around. Say, there was a mix-up in the swank Fifth Avenue flower shop. The wrong cards were attached to 2 imposing floral wreaths. The one that went to the druggist moving to a new building read, "Deepest sympathy." The one intended for the funeral of the leading banker read, "Good luck in your next location." Say, my wife drove up the wrong way in a one-way street. The cop says, "Didn't you see the arrow?" She says, "I didn't even see the Indian." My wife should have been a lawyer. Every time we have an argument, she feels she's losing. She takes it to the higher court, her mother. My wife, I can't forget the first time I met her, the way her lovely hair grew halfway down her back. Too bad it didn't grow on her head. See, those bellhops in Miami are just tip-happy. They walk around with their hands outstretched. I was in my room. I ordered a deck of playing cards. The guy made 52 trips. Down in Miami, a man falls in the pool. A lifeguard jumps in, saves his life. The man walks over to me and says, "What do you tip for a thing like that?" Say, one day I was driving under the influence of my wife. She talks and talks and talks. She gets 2,000 words to the gallon. I wanted to send my brother-in-law a gift. How do you wrap up a saloon? Say, you hear about the gypsy who doesn't read the tea leaves? She reads the lemon.
And now, folks, it's barbecue time. I'm going to give you some real handy hints now. Your barbecue equipment will not only give you many happy hours of eating, it will save your life if you are ever marooned on a desert island. Now, when this happens, be sure you have your barbecue things with you. Start barbecuing immediately. In no time at all, you'll be surrounded by dozens of people all giving you advice. Ask one of them to save you. While waiting, I'm going to tell a few gags. There's a man and a woman check into a hotel near a railroad station. Now, this is the only room left in town. There's a convention going on. And this woman lies down in bed to take a little rest, and all of a sudden a train goes by, and zoom! It knocks her out of bed, the vibration from the train. Now she lays down again. Another train goes by and knocks her out of bed again. She complains to the manager, "What kind of a hotel is this? I'm lying down here trying to take a rest. The train goes by and the vibrations knock me out of bed." He says, I don't believe it. She said, will you please come upstairs? So the manager comes upstairs. She says, lay down that bed a minute. Just then her husband walks in. Not yet. The husband says, what are you doing here? He says, believe it or not, I'm waiting for a train. Two guys meet. One says, what's the latest dope on Wall Street? He says, my son. There's two guys in the gym. One's putting a girdle on. His friend says, since when do you wear a girdle? He says, my wife found it in the glove compartment of my car. Was it that good? Two guys meet. One says, you look bad. What's the matter with you? He said, tell the truth, I lost three wives in the last 3 months. What happened? The first one died from eating poison mushrooms. What happened to the second one? She died from eating poison mushrooms. What happened to the third one? Fractured skull. How come? She wouldn't eat the poison. Now, folks, summer is normally the time to barbecue because it's cold in the winter. And who wants to stand over a hot fire when it's freezing out? On the other hand, standing with your feet in 10 inches of snow grilling franks is the best known way to have hot dogs and cold dogs at the same time. All right, next joke. There's a priest called Father Bob around New York. He's very good to actors. And he was working too hard, and my doctor examined him. He says, look, Father Bob, you're going to get sick yourself. I want you to go away and take a vacation. Take off your priestly attire, put on a business suit, go where they don't know you, and stay away for 2 weeks and rest. So he comes to Detroit. I'm playing the Playboy Club there. Father Bob sees my name. He comes up to visit me. I sit him down. I buy him dinner. About 5 minutes later, a Playboy bunny taps him on the shoulder. Father Bob! He says, where do you know me from? She says, I'm Sister Teresa. We have the same doctor. Who would think I just had a physical? I said, Doc, how do I stand? He said, that's what puzzles me. Here's a guy who told his friend he had a pet gorilla that weighed 800 pounds. So his friend says, where does he sleep? The guy says, anywhere he wants to. I take my wife everywhere, but she finds a way home. My wife has a nice, even disposition, miserable all the time. My wife hates housework. I bought electric iron, electric dishwasher, electric dryer. She said, too many gadgets around, so you have no place to sit down. What did I do? Bought her an electric chair. I bought my wife a mink outfit, a rifle and trap. My wife found a furry who does his own breeding. He crossed a mink and a gorilla. Had a beautiful fur coat, but the sleeves are too long. You people have relatives. I have a grandson named Larry, 10 years old. It'll be 11 if I let him. He keeps complaining about headaches, headaches. I've told him 1,000 times, when you get out of bed, it's feet first. The guy's brought into a court and the judge says, you're charged with throwing your wife out of a 17-story window. What do you have to say? The guy said, we used to live on the ground floor. I forgot we moved. The man was fined $10 for hitting a pedestrian. He said, Judge, I only have a 20 on me. The judge says, I don't have any change. Go out and hit someone else. The guy says, your dog just bit me. The other guy says, that's funny. He's usually very particular. Says an elderly couple gets married. She was 95, he was 94. They drove to Niagara Falls on their honeymoon. What do you think they did for 2 weeks? They tried to get out of the car. Folks, a lot of people don't know this, but this is a second marriage for me. My first wife fell on the wishing well. I didn't know they worked. Well, I was in a place where they caught the bartender stealing. He took a dollar, put a half a dollar in his pocket. Half a dollar in his pocket and a half a dollar in the cash register. Took in another dollar, same thing. A half a dollar in his pocket, a half a dollar in the cash register. The third dollar, he put the whole dollar in his pocket. The boss walked over and said, what's the matter? Aren't we partners anymore? The guy comes up to me and says, lend me $10 till payday. I said, when is payday? He said, you ought to know. You're the one that's working.
In the hotel lobby, a guy walks up to me and says, you want to buy a diamond ring? I said, where is it? He said, on that guy over there. The guy goes to a doctor. He says, look, doc, I have a dime in my ear. The doctor says, what? A dime in your ear? The guy says, yes, it's been there for 10 years. The doctor says, why didn't you have it taken out? The guy says, I didn't need the money. The pickpocket is arrested and brought into the court. The judge hands down the sentence, $50 fine. The pickpocket's lawyer confers with his client. He says to the judge, look, Your Honor, he doesn't have quite $50 on him. If you give him a few minutes in the crowd. There's a guy who has heart trouble, so he flies in the world's most famous heart specialist. The specialist operates, and it's a fabulous success. The guy is completely healed. He says, Doc, how much do I owe you? The doctor says, that'll be $5,000. The patient gets mad. I can't afford $5,000. I can't pay $2,000. I can't even pay $250. The specialist says, okay, the operation's on me. Tell me one thing. Why did you fly me in here from Miami? The guy said, when it comes to my health, money's no object. As a fellow says to his friend, look at this nice poodle I got for my wife. His friend said, I said that was a pretty good trade. Say, a man goes to a psychiatrist. Psychiatrist says, lay on that couch. If you want to talk, talk. If you don't want to talk, you don't have to talk. Man lays there an hour, don't say a word. Walks out, the nurse is waiting. That'll be $50, please. He pays her the $50. Comes back 3 weeks later. Lays on the couch again for an hour, don't say a word this time. Walks out, $50, he pays her. Comes back the seventh week. He says, Doc, I'd like to say something today. He says, what? He says, need a partner? Little old lady walks up to the box office. There's a picture called Dr. Zhivago playing. She puts a dollar down. The cashier says it's $2.50. She says, what, is he a specialist? Back to the barbecue, folks. Now, how to build the right kind of fire for barbecuing is important. Besides charcoal and matches, you need a big supply of kindling unless you use an electric fire starter. If you use an electric fire starter, all you need is a big supply of extra fuses. If you have no electric starter, all you need besides a large box of kitchen matches and a Boy Scout are 4 complete copies of the New York or Los Angeles Sunday Times, Chicago Sunday Tribune, or any other Sunday newspaper that gives you a double hernia to lift. Besides these, you should have several empty strawberry boxes you can break up, a few ping pong balls, and all the old celluloid guitar picks you can find in your kid's closet. Now, folks, always be sure to start your fire well before your guests arrive. If you do this, by the time they show up, every briquette of charcoal will turn gray and be ready for you to start cooking. If you don't do this, by the time you can start cooking, every one of your guests will turn gray. Say, there's two boys, I forgot this joke. There's two truck drivers, they're applying for jobs. One says, my name is Sam and this is Nero, he's my partner. When I drive at night, he sleeps. The man says, all right, I'll give you an oral test. Suppose you're driving along 3 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden you see a trailer truck come towards you, you can't get out of the way. What is the first thing you do? He says, I wake up my partner Nero. He says, why? He never saw a wreck like this before. Say, a man can't find a lawyer. He picks up a red book. He sees a law firm. Schwartz, 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 and Schwartz. He calls him and says, I'd like to talk to Mr. Schwartz. Not in today. He's playing golf. He's all right, then let me talk to Mr. Schwartz. He's no longer with us. He's retired. He's all right, then let me talk to Mr. Schwartz. He's in Detroit. Won't be back for a month. He's all right, then let me talk to Mr. Schwartz. He's just speaking. A little old man gets hit by a car, and the cop puts him against the wall and props him up, covers with him in a blanket. He says to the old man, are you comfortable? He says, I make a nice living. Man walks into a doctor. The doctor says, you're going to live to be 60. He says, I am 60. He says, what'd I tell you? Little lady walks into a doctor. He says, get undressed. He says, lady, that's the ugliest body I have ever seen. She said, that's what my doctor told me. He said, what are you coming to me? I want another doctor's opinion. I think I'll tell a mother-in-law joke. I got a mother-in-law so neat, she puts paper under the cuckoo clock. A I said to my mother-in-law, my house is your house. Last week she sold it. Meanwhile, folks, back in the barbecue. Now, folks, no matter when you barbecue, it's important to have all the things you'll need close at hand. These, in the order you'll need them, are charcoal, matches, and unguentine. Now, because things can go wrong the first time you barbecue, invite only your relatives and your fire insurance agent. You better also invite your lawyer to your first barbecue. Everyone will be giving you advice on how to build a fire, how to season the meat, and all the other technical problems. This will start an argument which turns into a fight, and you'll have to sue your best friend. Now, don't let your lawyer taste any of your cookery. He may sue you. You know, folks, once I wanted to become an atheist, they gave it up. They have no holidays. A fellow walked up to me and said, I want 50 cents for a drink. So I gave him the 50 cents for a drink, and I followed him. He said, what are you following me for? I said, I want to make sure you don't buy a bowl of soup.
And welcome back to us here at CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and coming up next, our next show will be The Medicine Show, and that's always a great, great deal of fun. So hopefully you will join us for that, and from all of us here at Skulls Hall, join us next week, Friday at 9 p.m., where we will be doing a retrospective on Anime Revolution, and we will be talking about the Vancouver Fringe Festival. Thank you very much, and have a good night.
The 5th Annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is looking for submissions.